Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, December 10th, 2015. I'm your host, Scott Burden, in for Joan Pardis. Katie Bosler will be on today's show to highlight spring 2016 registration at UAS and undergraduate research proposals. Sally Smith will be here to highlight this weekend's Holiday Pops concert. We'll talk with Kanan Bosler and Odin Miller about Saturday's Alaska Climate Action Network potluck at Eagle Crest. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno afternoon. Currently 32 degrees at the Juno Weather Office on the Back Loop Road, 32 in Gustavus and 31 in Hoonah.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Canada's chiefs are meeting this week and are encouraged about relations with the federal government. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, the prime minister is helping create that optimism.
The constitutionally guaranteed rights of First Nations in Canada are not an inconvenience, but a sacred obligation.
Justin Trudeau received several standing ovations during his speech to hundreds of First Nations leaders and elders. During the recent election campaign, Trudeau pledged his government would rewrite the relationship with the country's Indigenous people. He announced there would be a national inquiry into missing and murdered Aboriginal women and girls, nearly 1,200 cases since 1980. And he said Canada would sign the UN Declaration on Indigenous Rights. The previous government of Stephen Harper refused to move on either issue. And Trudeau said he would undo some of the policies of the Harper government.
We will conduct a full review of the legislation unilaterally imposed on Indigenous peoples by the previous government. Where measures are found to be in conflict with your rights, where they are inconsistent with the principles of good governance, or where they simply make no public policy sense, we will rescind them.
In addition, Trudeau promised more money for Native education, a lifting of the cap on funding for First Nations, and the implementation of the recommendations from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which spent years gathering information and stories about the residential school era. When it was over, Trudeau was again given a standing ovation and was wrapped in a ceremonial blanket described as a gift meant to convey respect and protect the Prime Minister from harm. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
This week, South Dakota's governor outlined his proposed budget for fiscal year 2017, saying he'll look at Medicaid expansion if the federal government takes a greater role in Native American health care. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
In past years, Governor Dennis Dugard has opposed Medicaid expansion in South Dakota. He says the state has not been in a position to add more residents to Medicaid rolls. In his budget address, he left the door open for the possibility to add more people to the government health care program. Dugard says the state can offset current and future costs of expanded Medicaid if the federal government lives up to tribal treaty obligations.
If a Native American who's Medicaid eligible seeks care, the Medicaid program covers that care, and if it's provided through Indian Health Services, Medicaid is reimbursed 100% from the federal government. In the most recently completed fiscal year, IHS spent $69.2 million providing health care to Native Americans who are also Medicaid eligible, 100% federally reimbursed. That's how it's supposed to work for all Native Americans. But it doesn't always happen that way.
Dugard says currently reimbursement is reduced if the care is not completed at an IHS facility. That forces the state to kick in part of the cost. He says a plan for change is a long way from being realized, but the state would be able to cover more if federal officials take care of all Native American Medicaid reimbursements, no matter where that care takes place. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
20-year-old Alex Rios was convicted Wednesday for his part in the beating deaths of two homeless men in Albuquerque, New Mexico. According to the Associated Press, a jury found Rios guilty on two counts of second-degree murder for the 2014 deaths of Allison Gorman and Key Thompson, both Navajo. Police say Rios and two others are responsible for the crime. After the attack, the city created a task force with members of the Native American community to help address homelessness. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support by WanderingBold.com, providing American Indian crafts and supplies since 1969. Shipping nationwide, virtually everything you need to powwow is at WanderingBold.com. Holiday delivery on orders placed by December 15th.
Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction, taking place February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kiwanis News programming. Learn more at knba.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, December 10th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host, in the studio with me now is Katie Bosler from UAS. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Good to be here, Scott.
All right, so we've got some fun stuff going on at UAS. We got spring 2016 registration, which we'll get to probably in a minute, but also these very cool undergraduate research projects and proposals. Tell us, you want to start with that?
Sure. Yeah, we're pretty excited about this, Scott. We've had a program now for a few years called the Undergraduate Research and Creative Activity Grant. Now, this is very cool. If you're an undergraduate at the University of Alaska Southeast and you apply, you could qualify for $2,500 from UAS to do your outside the classroom research. And just this year, there's been a couple of really great projects. Henry Masters did a project where he went up to Salmon Creek. He's also a fly fisherman. So what did Henry do? He combined his love for fly fishing with his academics, and he studied the changes in the body shape of the brook trout that had been recently introduced into the Salmon Creek Reservoir.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So it's cool because, you know, here he's having fun fly fishing, but he's also, you know, analyzing the fish, doing a research project. So I just thought it was such a kind of beautiful combination. Also, for another one is Jamie Pierce. He was awarded a grant to develop a framework to monitor the snowpack stability around Juneau in real time. So Jamie was up on the glacier with Aaron Hood, our environmental science professor, doing some very exciting research. Years ago, you might remember your bluegrass colleague Jeremy Kane, who's also a ceramics professor, did a project with a former student, Bonnie Parker, where she developed a kiln that was fueled by oil, by vegetable oil. So there's a lot of cool projects that students have done over the years. And so far, since 2011, there's been 47 projects.
Wow.
So students, parents, those who are interested in this grant, the deadline to apply for this grant is this coming Sunday, the 13th of December at 5. And if you go to the UAS webpage, you can find a link right there. It says Eureka, the Eureka logo, U-R-E-C-A. And click on that, and you can get to the website and to the PDF application form.
Any year of undergraduate is eligible.
Yes, any
year.
Yep, to my knowledge. But the details will be on that website. But that's as far as I know. And just real quick, this kind of gives me an opportunity. You know, I was telling you about the Glacier Project, the Salmon Creek Project. We have just developed a series of undergraduate videos and spots on undergraduate science research at UAS. So we have one on whale watching, we have one on forest research, one on glacier research, and then, of course, Henry's Brook Trout Project. And if you also go to the UAS website and all the pages, including the homepage, there's a little YouTube icon. Click on the YouTube icon and you can see these videos and learn more about these projects.
Great. About how many projects do you give out a year? Do you know?
I should have that down. It seems like it's at least,
I mean, you said 47 total. So.
Yes, 47 totals in 4 years. So I think that's an average of probably about a dozen a year.
Sounds like such a great opportunity for students, like you said, like Henry did, to follow his passion, to make learning fun.
Yeah.
$2,500.
Yeah.
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 Excellent.
It's a really wonderful project. This, I think, was initiated by the former provost, now our chancellor, Rick Caulfield. So it's been very successful. And also, if you're on Facebook, if you go to the UAS University of Alaska Southeast Facebook page, you can see the video about Henry right there.
Okay, so the deadline, everyone, this Sunday at 5 p.m. It sounds like a great opportunity not to be missed.
Correct.
All right. Yeah. You want to talk spring 2016 registration?
Yes, we are beating the drums for registration, folks. I know a lot of us in this town, I know no one like this, just kidding. We wait to the last minute for things. You know, Scott, I've been waiting for the last minute for my entire life, and it's really starting to hurt. It's not good. It's not good for me. It's not good for the people around me. So those of you who wait for the last minute and you're a student at UAS or interested in UAS, please just register now or start learning about registration. So what's happening is the first day of school, I believe, is January 11th, and I'm just checking that to make sure. But if you're interested in a class, go to the UAS website, uas.alaska.edu, and you want to do a Google search within UAS for schedule or just slash schedule, and you can find all of the listing of courses both online and on campus offered at UAS. And, yes, the first day of school is Monday, January 11th. That's that Monday after the holiday break for a lot of us. So you might be kind of wondering, well, what should I study? I don't know. You can talk to an advisor. If you want to talk to an advisor, you want to call 796-66,000, and you can make an appointment with an advisor. Now, this we're coming up on our break. UAS will be closed from Christmas Eve until January 4th, so time is kind of getting short for that. And if I have a couple minutes, I just want to tell you about some of the classes that are open.
Yeah, what are some popular classes out there?
We have art classes, and I know there's been kind of some little bit of misunderstanding in the community. We do have an art program. There just isn't an art major currently, but we do have an art program. So there is room in Beginning Ceramics with Jeremy Kane on Tuesdays from noon to 5, also in Ben Huff's Art Appreciation class, Tuesdays and Thursday, 3 to 4:30. And that class, students have really appreciated that art appreciation class, so to speak. So those are a couple of good art classes. World History 2 with Robin Walls, who is just a fantastic, of course, history professor.
Great way of explaining things, so they're understandable.
He has that class as well as, and we also have macroeconomics with Brian Vandernald, Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. And then we have an intro to psychology class with Amanda Sesko. She's a fantastic psychology professor who does a lot of undergraduate research. Speaking of that, with her students, they go to conferences, they present. And also Laura Vess has some intro to sociology class that meets Tuesday, Thursdays in the morning. That's in the arts and sciences. And then School of Management, that's our business program. They have courses available in record keeping for small business, management skills. They just opened a second section of that class, QuickBooks, and new business ventures. And many of these classes, School of Management, are online. And that's the other thing we want people to know. Did you know, Scott, that more than half of our courses are online, our credit hours? So some people might think, oh, I'm going to look up University of Phoenix or some other online program. You can do it here. And just real quick, Scott, I know another hat you wear is you're an English professor at UAS.
That's right.
Adjunct.
English 211, Intermediate Composition, Katie. It's a fun class. I like to make writing sort of simple, get students attracted to it sort of from an artistic view, and make it easy to do. And then later, we sort of work on punctuation and grammar. That's my approach, is get them addicted and realize that writing is just this extraordinary form of communication and fun and can be artistic. And then once they're hooked, and then you start playing around with, like, grammar and syntax and punctuation.
Sounds like you put the creative in creative writing.
I have a lot of fun. We study folks like David Sedaris and Ernestine Hayes, Sherman Alexie, Tim O'Brien, Jamaica Kincaid, these great writers, and try and emulate what they do.
Well, I'm sold. Being a perennial English major, now I want to sit in and audit your class, Scott.
And I like getting to know the authors too. So mm-hmm. watch interviews and videos and get to know them, and then try and figure out how they do what they do.
Okay. And now, in order to qualify for your class, would I need to take some introductory English classes if I haven't taken
one
before?
Yeah. Sometimes I teach like 110 or 111 classes mm-hmm. like that, which are sort of entry level writing classes. But for this one, yeah, you would have had to take 111 or 110. Mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. just thinking too. I mentioned Ernestine Hayes like 10 years ago, Katie. I had an undergraduate degree already, but I thought, hey, I want to work on my writing skills. So I signed up for a class with Ernestine Hayes, her creative writing class, and it was one of the best classes I ever took. It was just fun as, I don't know, whatever, late 20 somethings, and really enjoyed that. And it put me on sort of a path towards writing. So I'm really thankful to Ernestine for that class. So
it seems
like there's something for
everyone.
It took
you to your Master's of Fine Arts in Creative Writing Nonfiction.
That's right.
And then eventually, arguably, to this job.
Maybe.
Well, thank you, UAS, and thank you, Ernestine.
Absolutely.
And just real quick, that gives me a chance to let people know that if you're wondering about improving your writing skills, you can always take an English placement test at our testing center. And then there's also a technical writing class being offered by Carrie Enge for people who want to put reports together. And that's being offered on Thursdays at 5:30. And you can do the same thing if you want to improve your math skills. You can always go to our learning center and take a placement test in math and see where you fall, then take the right class.
So you mentioned earlier about meeting with a counselor. What if there's somebody
an
out
advisor.
There, or an advisor,
yeah.
excuse
yeah.
me, what if there's somebody out there who's not sure if they want to go back to school? Can they come in even as a non-student and meet with an advisor and get
oh,
some...
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, we know that there are people who might have some credits from here, credits there. Maybe they're working full-time, but they want to figure out how to finish that degree. Please make an appointment with a UAS advisor, and they can help you work out a plan.
Excellent. What's the number for the advising department?
Again, it's the Student Resource Center. It's 796-6000. And then if you want to learn more about the schedule or registering for a class, you would call our admissions office. And that's pretty similar number, 796-6100. But you can get any of this information just going to our website, uas.alaska.edu, or Google UAS. It's all there. And you have links to the admissions page and how to apply, and it's all there.
Okay. So as a reminder, undergraduate research proposals are due this Sunday at 5.
Correct.
Okay. And first day of classes is January 11th, mm-hmm. and the earlier folks register, the better.
You got it. Register now, everybody.
Katie, thank you for coming on the show. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Just UAS, a learning community, on campus and online.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 10th of December, 2015. It's the birthday of Emily Dickinson, Amherst, Massachusetts, 1830, grew up in her father's house, big brick house in Amherst, lived there with her parents and her sister. The house had a conservatory where she was able to raise plants all year round, and she was devoted to them. She had her own bedroom, a corner room on the second floor, in which she had a small wooden desk with a drawer, and there she was free to write poetry at all hours of day and night. Her relatives remembered Emily Dickinson writing verses as she went about her daily tasks. By 1865, when she was 35, she had written more than 1,100 poems. When she died in 1886, at the age of 55, her sister Lavinia discovered her sister's vast trove of unpublished poems, and she went about getting them published. It was on this day in 1884, Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn was first published. He had thought about writing the book in a formal literary style and then put it aside for a few years. And when he came back to it, he narrated the story first person Huck Finn story told in dialect. It's the birthday of the mathematician and inventor Ada Augusta Byron Lovelace. Born in London in 1810, she was the only legitimate child of the poet Lord Byron from his marriage to Annabella Milbank. Never knew her father, who died in Greece when she was just 8 years old. When she was 17, she was taken under the wing of the mathematician Charles Babbage, who had invented what he called an analytical engine, a cog-filled machine that could perform complex mathematical calculations. And it was she, Ada Lovelace, who wrote 20,000 words worth of notes on the whole project, devising a system of codes that became the first algorithm intended to be processed by a machine. So she was the first computer programmer. It's the birthday of the man who gave us the Dewey Decimal System for categorizing books in the library, Melville Dewey, born Adams Center, New York, 1851. And it's the birthday of the poet Carolyn Kaiser, Spokane, 1925, who felt suffocated by her mother's encouragement. And after her mother's death, Kaiser said, "At last I could write without pressure, without blackmail, without bargains, without the hot breath of her expectations." Here's a poem by Emily Dickinson on her birthday. Some keep the Sabbath going to church. Some keep the Sabbath going to church. I keep it staying at home with a bobolink for a chorister and an orchard for a dome. Some keep the Sabbath in surplice. I just wear my wings, and instead of tolling the bell for church, our little sexton sings. God preaches, a noted clergyman, and the sermon is never long. So instead of getting to heaven at last, I'm going all along. A poem by Emily Dickinson, Some Keep the Sabbath Going to Church. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Lumosity.com, personalized brain training developed by neuroscientists to challenge memory and problem-solving through online games, Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, December 10th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host, in for Joan Partis. Joining me now in the studio is Sally Smith. She is the director, conductor, volunteer extraordinaire for the Holiday Pops concert that's happening this weekend. It's a community chorus. Welcome to the show, Sally.
Thanks, Scott. It's always good to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. Let's see, you have two concerts, one at UAS and one at the Jack this weekend. You want to tell us, start off with the details of those?
Sure. First of all, I want to note the UAS venue, because that is a change for us this year, and we will be in the Egan Library. We're quite excited about having a concert on campus, and especially in the Egan Library. That will be Saturday night at 7:30. When the doors open at 7 o'clock, everyone will be greeted by a pre-concert played by the Capitol Brass, and that is a brass quintet. We've been blessed each of our 8 years to have a brass ensemble.
Okay, so
that's they'll be
Saturday.
Playing. And then on Sunday, we're going to be at the Jack starting at 3:30 with the doors opening and the pre-concert with the brass at 3 o'clock.
Okay, so that's this weekend. Now, you were telling me this is a community chorus. There are a lot of different groups involved. Tell us what folks can expect, or how they can imagine what it's going to look like on Saturday and Sunday.
For many of us, it's a throwback to our youth, when it used to be really a community concert. So every year I invite anyone who wants to sing, likes to sing, or wants to try it out to come and sing with us. There are no auditions. This year we have 45, and it's a wonderful balance. But we're also joined by the brass and by Sarah Radke Brown singing a soprano solo with the brass. We have 16 students from the JAM program at Glacier Valley Elementary School. They had to pass the test proving they could play the piece in order to be part of the concert. 16 of them passed. I went out yesterday to work with their teachers, plural. Lori Heggie, many people know her name. She's our accompanist for the concert. She's also the teacher of the JAM program, and she has four student teachers in partnership with the UAS Master of Arts in Teaching and with the Juno Symphony and, of course, with JAM. They are working with these students. So we are also going to have the Mendenhall String Quartet. The four student teachers will be joining the children. They will accompany the chorus with a combination of Pachelbel's Canon and the First Noel.
Give or take, how many people is that?
Oh, let's see. I think I got about 60 coming in on the stage, you know, in and out. But that's just it. It's the community volunteering their talents for their friends and neighbors as a gift to the community to say, isn't this a great place where we live? Thanks for all of you do. And then about half the group will go out to the Pioneers Home on Monday night.
Excellent. You've been doing this for 8 years?
8 years.
Now? Okay. And Sally, you've worn a lot of hats in our community. Former mayor, former legislator, but I know you have a degree in music. What inspired you to start this, to keep it going? You've sort of answered already, but tell us more.
Well, several years ago, like eight, Juno Lyric Opera asked me if I would be interested in doing something for the holiday season. Back then, there weren't many choices. This year, there will be a lot of choices for people. I chose to put together a choir because we don't really have a community choir. We have singers who get together and sing, but we didn't have anything like this. And the big thing was I wanted it accessible to everybody, singers and community alike. So thank you for the question, because that's my segue to how affordable the tickets are. Because everyone has come together to join forces, and we have been able to borrow music from the high school. We purchased some, but mostly we were able to borrow. We are able to offer tickets, general admission, $10, students and seniors,
$8.
Sounds and that
affordable.
Will pretty much cover our costs.
And nobody's getting paid for this, right?
Nobody's getting paid for this. Anything that's left over will go to the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, who are our wonderful sponsors this year. We're really, really pleased to be associated with JAHC.
Okay, so it is a holiday pop. So what are a few numbers that people can expect?
Well, the first half of the concert is all winter music and secular. So we're going to open with On with the Snow, and they'll hear little strains of Happy Holidays and White Christmas, a few things like that. We finished the first half with 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. In the second half, we'll move more to the sacred. And probably the Pachelbel Canon coupled with First Noel will be of interest to people. We always sing Joy to the World accompanied by the brass, which we will be doing again this year, a couple of Gloria fanfares with the brass. Some familiar, some not familiar. And maybe the highlight of the second half will be a solo with the choir that also has a violin solo.
All right, it sounds beautiful. Let's see, the Saturday concert, doors open at 7. There will be walk-in music, it sounds like, but the concert starts at 7:30. It's about a two-hour concert, you think, after that?
Just about. It depends on how long people take at intermission.
Okay.
And because it's a community event, we really hope that they do have an opportunity to be social with one another and share the season.
Excellent. And then Sunday, 3 o'clock, walk-in music at 3, and then the concert starts at 3:30?
Correct.
$10 for adults, $8 for students and seniors?
That's correct.
Sounds like a lot of fun. You said 65 people?
About 60.
Okay.
About 60. And I do want to say that we are doing an arrangement that I did for Light One Candle, written by Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And that will commemorate the last 2 days of Hanukkah.
Okay. Well, Sally Smith, thank you for telling us about this, and have fun this weekend. Anything we're missing? Anything you want to add?
We're just missing you as a singer, Scott. Actually, I just want to add that it's a very balanced chorus of your friends and neighbors. It's community-wide, and it's an opportunity for us to share the season, celebrate life in Alaska, and to bring the light back to the darker winter hours. So thanks to the Juno Arts and Humanities Council for sponsoring this.
And thank you. And I bet if somebody wanted to get involved, they should just come say hi this weekend.
Absolutely. We'll put them on the list to be given notice next year.
Sally Smith, thanks for your time.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane. Snow is glistening, a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In the meadow we can build a snowman, pretend that he's Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? I'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made. Walking in a winter wonderland. Chillin', we'll frolic and play. come away, walking in a winter wonderland, walking in a winter wonderland, walking in a winter wonderland.
The Juno Arts and Humanities Council is delighted to present the 8th Annual Holiday Pops Concert, happening at the UAS Egan Library on December 12th at 7:30 p.m. and at the Juno Arts and Culture Center on December 13th at 3:30 p.m. There will be a pre-concert by Capitol Brass 30 minutes prior to both shows. Tickets are on sale now at the Juno Arts and Culture Center, Hearthside Books, and at jack.org.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, December 10th, 2015. Scott Burton, your host, in today for Joan Pardis. It's about 25 minutes until the top of the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by Kanan Bosler and Odin Miller. They are both participants in the Alaska Climate Action Network. Welcome to the show, Kanan and Odin.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
Nice to have you guys here. So let's talk about the details. First, you guys are having a potluck this Saturday. Tell us about it, Kanan.
Yeah, so we're having up at Eagle Crest from 2 to 5 on Saturday, and basically just having an open potluck for the community to learn about what's going on in Paris right now. There's this big climate negotiations from leaders from all over the world that are coming together in Paris right now, and trying to come up with some global targets to that they can all agree on reducing climate change. And so basically we saw this as an opportunity to contribute to the global movement of all these people coming together. And all over the world there will be events happening on the same day called the People's Last Word. And so what we're doing is basically just going to brief people on what happened in Paris and also talk about local opportunities to improve our community through the realm of climate change and what that means for Juno.
Okay. Odin, can you tell us a little bit about the Alaska Climate Action Network here in Juno?
The Alaska Climate Action Network is a relatively new volunteer organization based here in Juno that is trying to bring climate change more to the center in terms of environmental issues that's facing Alaska, because climate change is one of the most significant environmental issues that Alaska as a whole and also Juneau is facing. Alaska Climate Action Network was started just about a year ago, but it's already held many different events, from film screenings to rallies to participation in the 4th of July parade, and dozens of people have participated, and
Okay. Kanan, what inspired you to join this network?
Oh, man, that's a big question. Basically, climate change is huge for me because it directly affects my way of life. Spend a lot of time in the snow and see it threatened by this huge global crisis. And so basically, since I spend so much time, in these environments and have a great appreciation and respect for our natural world the way that it is right now, I'm attracted to being a participant in climate action because I see potential for real improvement, because it's a real opportunity. I mean, as much as it's a crisis and I don't want climate change, there's so much that we can actually gain from having a global crisis where we're all forced to respond and actually improve our lifestyles and improve our communities and improve our way of life into a more sustainable manner. So I guess that's, in a nutshell, what inspired me to contribute to this movement and be a part of this local network.
Okay, how about you, Odin?
I'd say I definitely agree with a lot of what Kanan's been saying. And I also think that, I think that climate change is having a big effect across the whole world. And I've spent a lot of time in different parts of Alaska, and I've seen firsthand the way it's starting to affect people's lifestyles. And it makes me a little bit anxious about the future, like when I read about these foreign fish showing up in Alaska waters, and that could affect our fisheries here in Alaska, which is one of the backbones of our economy. And I think that climate change has been a difficult issue for people to want to sort of, really get passionate about or get involved with, because it seems somewhat abstract and it's like a big global issue. But I also think that every year is sort of affecting our day-to-day lives more and more. And I also think if we don't take serious action to address this problem, that pretty quickly it's going to affect us in all different kinds of ways. It's going to, it's going to make it really hard to live in Alaska in terms of affecting economic opportunities, affecting like the way we get around, and with this event we're doing at Eagle Crest, affecting sort of stuff that we love to do in the wintertime. I think climate change, a lot of people see it as something that needs to be addressed by these big global scale international solutions, but really I feel like in the past 5 years or so, there's been an intense upsurge of local interest in thousands of different locations across the world, where people are taking the climate issue into their own hands by resisting new development of coal mines or coal-fired power plants or dangerous offshore drilling in the Arctic, all different kinds of issues. And these are really, if you put all these things together, that even if each local one may only contribute a small amount to climate change, taken as a whole, it really is a global issue.
Okay, you mentioned some big things like coal plants. Kanan, what are some practical things that we can all do to affect climate change right here in our own town?
I know that a huge part of our emissions here in Juneau, our carbon footprint, come from both transportation and all of the imports that we rely on, since we're kind of an island of sorts here in Juneau. So basically, just trying to localize your lifestyle more is a huge thing that you can do if you want to minimize your personal footprint. Things like growing your own food or buying locally produced food, or, riding your bike more often, stuff like that. So, that's kind of on a personal level a cool thing to do if you're inspired on that level. But with this potluck that we're putting together, we're hoping, people from all walks of life will come and just check it out. And, you don't have to completely change everything you do just to contribute to the movement. All we're asking is to come hang out, eat some free food, and have a chat and see what the Climate Action Network's all about.
Okay, so this is 2 p.m. up at Eagle Crest. It is a potluck. Should folks bring stuff?
Yeah, if you feel like bringing some snacks. I know that's this Saturday. There's probably going to be a lot of holiday parties going on and stuff, so don't feel too pressured to bring anything. But if you feel like contributing, that's a great way to help out. And there should be some good snacks there for all kinds of folks. And it's right at the end of the ski day, so come up and hang out in the lodge for a bit after you have your ski day if you're going to Eagle Crest this weekend. And yeah.
And so will you guys be in the lodge there at 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds interesting. If somebody wants more information on the Alaska Climate Action Network, where should they go?
Alaska Climate Action Network has a Facebook page. If you search for Alaska Climate Action Network, And they also have a website. Do you remember the URL?
I bet if folks just Googled it, they'll find it.
Yeah.
I'm blanking out on it a little bit.
Definitely Google Alaska Climate Action Network.
Google, yeah, definitely. And I just wanted to emphasize, too, that, you know, I know that, you know, talking a lot about climate change and it's a serious issue, but this potluck is really intended to be a low-key and fun event that's family-friendly. And, you know, it's, you know, you can just stop by even if you're unsure about some of the issues and you're just curious to learn more information, or even if you just want some free food. It's just basically supposed to be a really friendly event, you know.
Okay. Well, it sounds like fun. Odin Miller and Kanan Bosler, thank you guys for coming in. They're both members of the Alaska Climate Action Network. Are you guys, are we missing anything? Anything you want to add?
Yeah, just come up to Eagle Crest, ski some snow while it's around, and celebrate the climate that we have now. It'll be a fun day, Saturday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The temperature's rising, it isn't surprising. She certainly can. She started the heat wave by letting her seat wave. And in such a way that the customers say that she certainly can. She made the bakery jump to 93. Yes, sir, we're having a heat wave, a tropical heat wave. The way that she moves that thermometer proves that she certainly can.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/parkrec/diamondpark. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, December 10th. Scott Burton, your host, in today for Joan Pardis. It's about 11 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining me now in the studio is the one, the only, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council's Executive Director, Nancy DeCherney. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure.
And before we get to Arts Up,
Weather report. Everybody go outside and look at the sky. It's beautiful, and it's also icy, so be careful.
Yeah, be careful if you're driving out there or walking.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Arts Up, the time of the week where we figure out what's going on this weekend.
Yeah, and you're going to have to, like, synchronize your watches to get through this one, because there is a lot going on. I want to preface this by saying sometimes it's better to just take a deep breath, and have a cup of hot chocolate, and stay home with some friends. And but that said, these are the things that you could be doing. This is the first weekend of them all in the Night Visitors. You do have two weekends for this one. It starts tonight at 7 p.m. This is at McPheeters Hall, and you have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I believe Sunday, and then you have next weekend, too. So that's fun. There's Waka Flocka Flame. He's a rapper. He'll be out at Suite 907 tonight at 7 p.m. to 11. So give them a call. Tickets are a little pricey, $100 or $50 tickets. So,
wow.
Amping it up. So Friday, Santa Claus comes through on a fire truck, so watch out. He'll be going through Douglas and Juneau. Traveler Duo is at Rockwell at 6 p.m. We have the Southeast Alaska Snow and Avalanche Workshop happening at 6 p.m. also at Rockwell. That'll be fun. Don't know how they have plenty of room there, I guess. On Friday night, it is the Winter Wonderland Formal Ball over at the Arts Council. The big band will be playing, Thunder Mountain Big Band. This is your opportunity to dress it up and go out.
And this is one of your events, right?
Well, it's actually a fundraiser that the Juno Ballroom Dance Group does on behalf of the Jack. So it's a pay-as-you-can sort of thing, and they split the door with us. It's just really nice, and they decorate beautifully. It's just amazing. So, and it's not often you get a chance to dance to the big band, so come on out. There's also a barn dance at St. Anne's Parish Hall. That's at 7:30. There is, there's lots of dancing to do that. So Saturday is the first Lego League Robot Jamboree over at Centennial Hall. And also the judging will be done over at the Jack. Girls on the Run Jingle Job. I bet they mean Jingle Jog. But anyway, goodness sakes, there's an Orca Adaptive Ski Volunteer Training up at Eagle Crest, the second Saturday Farmers and Crafters Market out at the Airport Shopping Mall. Mendenhall Mall is having a craft fair. There's Saturday mornings at the movies, but Colette will be in tomorrow to talk probably about that. It's a nice thing to do with the kids. There's a holiday art card workshop at the Canvas. There's, what do we really want to hit? Tlingit Language and Arts Program over at Zach Gordon Youth Center. Check that out. That's free. That's at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Heroes and Villains, two performances, 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. This is at Thunder Mountain. It's the Taffy Dance Alaska group, their holiday thing. The Juno Jumpers are having their winter show at the Glacier Valley Gymnasium at 7 p.m. The Alaska Youth Choir has their holiday concert at Northern Light Church at 7 p.m. Again, you could see them all on the Night Visitors. Tiny Post Office, Kindred Post, is having one of their tiny little concerts. They have Dawson Walker, DJ DiReggio, and Jacob Picard storytelling and music. I'm not sure exactly. This is a very small space, though, so you have to get in there if you want to go. We're having Holiday Pops. That's out at the Egan Library on Saturday, and on Sunday it's at the Jack. There's live music, Brad and Friends, out at McGivney's on Saturday. Did you get enough to do on Saturday?
No, a couple more would be nice.
Okay, well, I'm going to skip that then.
Okay.
Sunday, we go right into things that we still... at 1 p.m. will be a celebration of Greg Fisk's life at Centennial Hall from 1 to 2. At 2 p.m., Juno's Stop Heroines Start Talking. That's out at the Mendenhall Public Library. It's an opportunity to start looking at problems that we have in the community and trying to take some positive action about that. There's a holiday show with the Juno Skating Club over at the Treadwell Arena at 2:30. Again, a mall and the Night Visitors. You have a matinee at 3 p.m. And at 3:30 to 5:30, Holiday Pops at the Jack. So let's see. There, we turn the page because it's getting like that. Out at the airport, if you're greeting holiday guests coming in or leaving town, at 7 p.m. on Sunday night, the cello choir will be performing out at the airport. And let's see, on Tuesday is the deadline for wearable art artists to get their applications in. So if you're getting ready to do that, be sure to get that into Meredith before 5 o'clock. And at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, there's West Coast Swing Dancing at Suite 907. on Wednesday at 5 p.m. There's a community potluck and fundraiser to help Lyle Hebert finish his film that he's making. Needs a little bit more money. Films are like that. I know how that goes. So that we sort of got through that.
We did.
We did,
Nancy DeCherney. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I hope to see you at everything.
Yeah. tell me really quick, how do you guys gather all this information? Because I love it. It's such a great resource.
Well, you know, one of the things that when I first took this job ages ago, I don't know if you remember this, but there was this plastic calendar on the wall. And it was difficult. It was just a big community need for there to be one place where people could look and try to find a weekend to put their own events on. So we do, people send us stuff, and you can do that by emailing info@jahc.org. We mine, you know, people bring us posters. We take it off of that. So
tell us more about that resource too.
Well, we offer a postering service. So if you are going to hang posters up, there are over 100 boards in this community. If you want to do it yourself, the list is on our resources page at our website. But for $35, we'll hang them up for you. So bring your posters to us by 10 o'clock on Tuesdays, and we get them up during the week. It's a lot of work, you know.
It is. $35 isn't that much. You save fuel.
Your time.
It's good for the environment, too,
yes,
to have one person do it, right?
Yeah, and we have one person that does the Douglas Valley route and one person that does the downtown route. So, like I said, it's a lot of boards to get your things on. So what else do we have that people – anyway, that's one way that you can also get on the calendars. You bring us your posters, and it gets entered.
And where should people go? We just heard a ton of information, but if they need to see it again, where should they go?
JAHC.org, and then you can get all the details. And it's also at KTOO.org. So.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, right. Thank you so much.
Sure.
As usual, anything else you want to add?
Nope, just happy holidays.
All right, I'll see you this weekend. Thank you for tuning into a Juno Afternoon today. Tomorrow, Andy Klein will be your host, and he'll highlight the Juno Lyric Opera and their production of Amal and the Night Visitors. Colette Costa will be here to highlight her annual Christmas party. And we'll learn about the Juno Jumpers winter presentation of How the Grinch Stole Christmas. We'll get a preview of Saturday's mini-concert at Kindred Post with Dawson Walker, DJ Drago, and musician Jacob Pickard. Those interviews, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more live at 3 on KTOO News, repeated at 4 on KRNN, and available online on demand via KTOO.org. Let's take a look at the weather here. Tonight calls for mostly cloudy with lows around 30 degrees. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly cloudy with a slight chance of snow in the afternoon and highs around 33. On Saturday, the forecast calls for mostly cloudy conditions with a chance of snow and rain, a high around 33. And going into Sunday, partly cloudy with highs around 31. Thanks again for tuning in to a Juno Afternoon. You can follow me, Scott Burton, on Twitter for show lineups and other arts news. Otherwise, tune in tomorrow, same time, same frequency.